Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's my check! It's my check!
Hello, horny babies. Hello, Waniacs. Welcome to a very special episode of Mic Check, the only podcast in known history where two comedians go through the entire works of, I don't need to tell you, Canadian funny man Mike Myers just to check if it's still shagadelic. My name, as if I need to tell you that either, is Rove McManus. And for today's episode, we're going to go and try and answer the question that has hung over all 52 episodes of this podcast, which character is the funniest character, Wayne or Austin? Joining me today to help step through this debate are your two hosts and mic historians, Cameron and Alexi. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
Hello, thank you so much, Ro.
This is indeed a pleasure to have you both here. Alexi, thank you to the two of you for coming into my shag basement.
Oh, well.
So it's kind of, it's like Wayne's basement, but it's made out to look like Austin Powers.
That's actually perfect.
Yeah,
that's what we like.
I've walked into my own heart, it would feel.
Exactly. We're currently on a rotating bed.
Yep. And I'm getting very motion sick.
Yes, I am eating too many M&Ms. My puke will be green and red and blue.
It's going to be very shagadelic.
So, gentlemen, let me ask you at this very early stage, how horny are you feeling right now?
Today I would say I am about a Shrek.
You're sitting in a Shrek.
About a Shrek, which is not an Alexander Payne movie about Shrek.
Okay, right. That was a long bow you just drew there.
Yes, like, and connecting. I'm glad that it struck a huge target and got a humongous gag.
It got a huge laugh out there in the Mic Check Republic. You, of course, merged Shrek and About Schmidt.
Yeah, very clever.
But Shrek is, as has been debated before on this very program, he's a very horny character anyway. He's very sexually frustrated.
He is.
Especially in Shrek 2.
Extremely sexually frustrated.
Horny. All he wants to do is get his end away, but unfortunately he has to go on another adventure with Donkey.
He's got too many responsibilities.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just need to freaking blow my goo right now.
And the weird part of it is, and look, you may have discussed this at the time anyway, I'm trying to remember, but we open with the honeymoon, right? We've been on the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Shrek and Fiona, they've had the honeymoon. And then he tries to have sex with her?
Yes.
Like the whole time he was away, there was no opportunity.
I mean,
when
you know,
lying
like
on
when
the
you're
beach.
On your honeymoon, you have so many activities to do.
Right, and they did. They had a lot going.
You've got a lot of activities. You got to write the thank you notes for everyone that came to your wedding. Yes, everyone at Far Far Away.
You two are honeymoon experts, obviously. I'm still waiting for mine to happen, and God, I pray it finally does.
Oh.
And at the end of it all, I can finally blow my little Shrek goo.
It's an absolute blast. You're gonna love it.
And
I've heard good things.
And in the time between you meeting that perfect someone who could fulfill that role, Alexi, let me just say, if you ever make friends with a donkey, sever those ties.
That donkey's a real pain in the ass.
Before you make those vows.
I guess that's true.
You will not get your end wet.
No.
Yeah.
Fact.
Donkey's a massive cock
Mike
block.
Mike fact.
Mike fact. It's a famous cock block.
Famous
making
cock
friends
block.
With a donkey. They're not called an ass for any other reason.
That's true. So, Cam, how horny are you feeling?
I reckon I'm sitting at about a Scottish dad from So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I'm a bit cranky today.
And Mr. McKenzie.
I was thinking, yeah, Mr. McKenzie. I was feeling that myself today. I feel like, if you want my body and you think I'm sexy, that's exactly where I was sitting right now too.
Now, I honestly thought that Mike was in the room with us for a moment.
I feel like crying myself to sleep on my huge pillow.
I feel like I should ask you now. How much of a Mike Myers fan or non-fan are you, Rose?
You're throwing out some pretty deep cuts already.
Look, I am a big fan of Mike's. I was not aware of Wayne's World. I will say that, as in the character, the SNL sketch. Mm. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen a lot of SNL. I don't think it was really even airing here at the time.
No.
To kind of hear about things secondhand. And saw Wayne's World, and so I had no idea of the running gags. I had no idea of their characters or the in-jokes or any of that stuff. I don't think I even knew it was an SNL sketch.
I probably didn't
know. But I just saw a movie that just blew my mind.
Yes.
Even just the product placement jokes and all that sort of stuff, which for its time was incredible, and playing with subtitle jokes and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I can't remember another comedy movie really owning that stuff. And now it sort of seems like, well, everyone's sort of done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, a huge fan of Mike's. Like many incredible comedic actors, I have not been as much of a fan of his dramatic work. But, and look, I don't know what happened with the love guru. I really do not.
We do, unfortunately.
And I had to talk to him about that movie.
So
and
you
that
had to interview.
That is never an easy thing to do.
Had you watched the film before you?
Yes, you always do. You always have to watch the movie. Right. There is no talking to anyone and not seeing the movie.
Okay. Yeah,
you will get in big
trouble.
So
you got sent a screener, presumably.
I went to. They put on a screening for you. The movie people will have the film company. They will have a little theaterette.
Wow.
And you go and
a mini movie theater.
Other media personalities.
There is sometimes other media people. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes, you know, depending on if you're the only person who's talking to them, it might just be you.
Were you in the cinema by yourself watching The Love Guru?
Yes.
Really?
No, I'm not going to name.
Oh my
gosh. There was another instance. I won't name the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another instance where I was watching a movie and I was by myself.
Oh gosh.
And it was so dull that I decided to go through my then, this is how far back we're going, standard digital camera, no phone, just a digital camera, and just delete things I didn't want.
Just admin.
I was just so bored.
Rearranging your life.
You're
like
at the point of going, I'm not going to give away the ending. I don't really need to see the end.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, my phone rings.
Yeah.
And it's someone from our office who said, are you taking photos during the movie? I said, no, I'm not. And they said, well, the projectionist has called the film company
to
say
you in.
He's filming during the movie. He's taking photos, which is obviously a breach of copyright in a world of other secrecy and what have you. And I said, no. And they said, well, then what's happening? I said, I'm so bored. I'm taking photos. I'm deleting photos off my camera. So anyway. The Love Guru was not that bad, although I think I was by myself.
That's actually one of the best
reviews. Sadly, very
derivative.
Was not that bad. Look, although I was by myself.
I wasn't. It wasn't so bad that I felt the need to delete photos off my camera.
No. But I wish I could delete the memory of having watched The Love Guru. It's a rough movie to get through.
You just have to watch it a few times. Then you will build Stockholm Syndrome to it, like I have.
Sure.
Where I really, to the point now, I'll just chuck it on. Chuck it on in the background, get my daily life done, and it just kind of motivates me to just be a better Mike out there.
I just feel like the Mariska Hargitay joke is great until Mariska Hargitay turns up. Because otherwise it just seems like it's a stupid catchphrase he has.
Yeah.
So, but then it's like, oh no, there she is. And the fact that he then references her to her face, you go, well, you've just popped your own balloon.
It's his mantra in the movie, and within 10 minutes we're seeing the real Mariska Hargitay.
She should have been there at the end, if anything, or a post-credits little gag.
Yes.
I came up with a great future. I punched up the joke really well when we did a live episode about this. I said that when he saw the real Mariska Hargitay, he should have gotten a little stiff. You know how when he got a little stiffy, it made a little bong noise? It should have gone bong, bong, like the Law and Order thing. Now that's funny stuff.
See, that's good shit.
That's good shit.
That's the kind of shit I would have pitched to Mike.
That's why we've got to get to Mike Myers.
Yeah.
So we can go, hey, we can fix Love Guru. Can we reboot Love Guru?
Have you heard anything at all from anyone in Camp Myers that would suggest they have any idea that this even exists?
No. We suspect that he knows due to the career moves he's made in the wake of this podcast existing.
Well, because we believe that we are kind of...
You know he's gone. This is the equivalent of Googling yourself.
Yeah, it would have to come up at some point.
Yes.
He's got to have some intern there going, oh, we've got some young, beautiful boys in Australia doing God's work, trying to resurrect your career. And I think that we have done a point. He's making a movie with our very own Margot Robbie. That's going to be coming out at some point.
Yep.
So
the Gong Show came about as a result of us wishing he was on our screens again. And
that's
what we wished for, but
that's
it was a veritable monkey's paw.
Yes.
Now, I don't know where you guys stand on this, but how do you feel about his very white hair nowadays?
I love it.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm also a big Steve Martin guy. So, you know, if you can, and Ted Danson. Two men with big white hairs.
Well, Steve's always had...
That's true.
We got
always
used
been
to
the
that.
He got used to it. A very grey very early on. Ted Danson, it's abrupt.
Yeah.
But yes, we've gotten used to it. Okay, sure.
Are you against it? You think he should be...
I don't know. It would be weirder now to see him die, like if he's going to do a movie.
Like if
so
he had
I'm looking
Wayne's...
at this one with Margot and going, is he going to die? I haven't seen anything of it.
There's no trailer yet.
Yeah.
There's
so
no trailer.
Is he going to die? That would be weird.
Like if he came back and he had Wayne's mullet, like fully.
Then that would be
fully, that would be a way for us to transition back to a younger Mike.
Yeah.
But it is that shock when those photos reached our shores here in Australia, possibly months after that happened. That I remember being truly shocked by that. I'm like, who is this man? Usually I look at the face of Mike Myers. I feel pride. I smile.
But this not so much.
This time it was more...
This was, you know what it was? It was your existential crisis where you finally realized that we all age.
Yeah, of course.
And that you will in turn age.
I will age one day.
And especially for Mike, such a baby face.
Oh, baby face.
Oh,
he's
come
got that
on,
chubby
punim,
those cheeks.
If you can agree on anything, it's the baby face.
He's got 80% dimples on his head. That's what he is. He's mainly dimples.
Yes. He's all cheek, this boy.
Yeah. We would like to ask you, because you mentioned you interviewed Mike
Myers.
This
is my show, but I'll allow it.
Yeah, please. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity.
Look, it's a one-off. I've come out to just do this.
Yep.
One-off.
And we're here in the shag basement, and we love it.
And we love it here. Sure. You really, I know you put a lot of expense just for this one afternoon to turn your basement.
And apologies for the listeners, if anyone with a longer memory, the idea of a shag basement makes you think of Joseph Fritzl.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people remember that. He had a second family living under his house that he created with his daughter.
I mean,
his Fritzls are making me thirsty. That's all we need to know about the Joseph Fritzl story.
He's what we would describe as a love rat, if this was 60 Minutes or something.
Crazy hair. Crazy mad hair.
Okay, so...
So, yes, what would you like to ask, Alexi?
So, what was that like?
How am I finding my time in Australia?
Yeah, honestly, that's what I'm coming to grips with here.
Mm.
You are one of the only people we've ever met and known and become friends with. Mm-hmm. I will put that on the record. You are my friends.
We have been texting.
I'll say this. You're my
counts.
Best friend.
That
all right?
counts. That counts.
I'll allow that, actually. But we've only met maybe one other person that's ever met Mike Myers.
I have to put it out. I'm not going to lie. I knew this was going to come at some point.
Yeah.
The idea of the fact that I have crossed paths with Mike more than once. And
my gosh.
Look, he is delightful. I think he started off my first impression of Mike the human being.
Oh my gosh. This is an era we've barely discussed.
Was actually watching him on the old Roy and HG show, Club Buggery.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was quite prickly,
mm-hmm.
a little bit difficult. He wanted to say and do things that they didn't want him to say or do. Language wise and things, and then he got a bit uppity saying, I'm on a show called Club Buggery and being told what I can and can't say. Okay. And
well,
it didn't go down
sense.
Very well.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I wasn't sure what he would be like, but it must have been for The Spy Who Shagged Me. And then, Love Guru was the other one. And I was Gold member. I spoke to him for Gold member because I remember asking him about Fat Bastard.
Was he there in the studio?
For that one, he was.
Wow.
Yes, and the other one was via satellite. But he, I think I asked him what it was. One of my big takeaways was what the suit, the Fat Bastard suit, would smell like at the end of the day.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
To which he said, it smells like bum bum.
Bum bum.
Double bum. It smells like bum bum.
Oh, wow. That's
but,
actually...
talking to him backstage was the fun part. That was the great part.
Really?
So just, talk us through that. What's he like as a person? Is he
like he
shy,
just because
reserved?
He's very quiet. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say he was shy, but certainly quiet. Mm-hmm. He's one of those people that you have to remember, yeah, he's an actor. He's not like a stand-up. He came from Second City, but that doesn't necessarily, that's more of an acting improv.
Mm.
It's not like stand-ups as such. And but he brought it on air. Like he knows what he has to do to sell a movie and do what he has to do.
Yeah.
But because he has that sort of UK heritage with his family, he's a fan of Monty Python and a lot of other UK performers. And most of the guests I would have on the show, the Americans, have never heard of them.
Yeah.
So I actually enjoyed sitting and talking to him about his background and all these other shows from the UK that we liked watching. And then we had to do a boring thing, plugging a movie for 7 minutes. And then we got back to talking about what we wanted to do.
Just in between the ad breaks.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's great. Wonderful. Highly recommend talking to Mike Myers.
Well, we'll try. But you're
I liked him. I really liked him. And I really genuinely felt for him when The Love Guru came out and it just clanged and it's kind of what Adam Sandler's going through at the moment. It's like everyone sort of woke up and just suddenly went, oh, wait, we don't like what you do.
Mm.
And we don't think we ever have, but no one's been game enough to
say
it.
I think it's a real problem that happens to comedic actors where we love them for the thing they do.
Mm.
And then when they keep doing it, we go, how dare you keep doing this thing? Why aren't you changing your
And it was okay with Austin Powers because obviously it was sequels and that's fine.
Yep.
But Love Guru just felt like, well, it's a different character but all the same tropes.
It's the same. Yeah. Exactly. It's,
this isn't the cleverness of So I Married an Axe Murderer or even Wayne's World. So
we've sort of talked about it a little bit. I think the reason that it hurt us when that movie clanged is because before it came out, he made a huge deal about the fact that it was a spiritual movie for him about his dad.
That's right. I do remember talking to him about that. One of those ones that was a bit...
Have you been part of a conversation with Mike Myers about Spike Myers, his dad?
Yes.
Oh, my. This is something that pervades our podcast because every bit of research we do, it always comes back to Mike's dear old dad.
Yeah,
and his relationship to him. And as part of our auteur theory that Mike Myers is a true cinematic auteur, he is the voice that is the defining voice of all these movies. That is the common link.
Yeah.
Is that they are inspired, a lot of the big hits and a bit of the misses are all inspired by his father what
his
father bestowed on him.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah.
The dad is his dad. He's playing his dad. And that's why he went and re-recorded all his Shrek lines.
Yeah.
Is he went, oh, wait, no, this would be better.
Yeah.
And did the slightly Scottish accent.
Yeah. Scottish-ish.
Scottish adjacent.
Can you do Scottish? You did a little bit of it before.
I can do. Yeah, it's one of the few I can do. But I do find I sort of slip into Shrek anyway.
Yeah.
Donkey, what are you doing? Just let it. And then it does. But then it's sort of halfway between the Shrek and then just his dad character again. You know. Oh. Head move. There's a lot of that.
So did he bring up this thing about his dad himself, or was that you?
No, this was one of those. It was in the research
in the
that we had done. So, and I knew he had spoken about it before. Mm. So I thought, because you don't want to bring one of those up, and then it's just like, oh, and he starts crying, and it becomes a bit like, how do we get out of this? So the movie, and then he starts crying even more.
Yeah.
Oh gosh,
God, I want to talk about the movie.
I think
he got Justin Timberlake to be in it. That was good.
Because that's the thing. He went so hard in the promo on the fact that it's a spiritual film.
Yep.
It's about his dad, and also he'd studied under Deepak Chopra and all this stuff.
He took that character. He did the full kit, makeup, everything, and booked some dates.
Come on.
Yeah, and to pretend to see, could I fool people into pretending to be this character?
No.
And he literally went out and was doing all the lines, just making shit up and fooled people. People didn't know it was him, and they thought he was an actual.
That's the movie.
Sage.
That's a better movie. That's than the movie. Yeah, the movie.
That would have been Borat before Borat. There like, that would have been so fantastic.
Exactly right. Because I think not too late.
There is something funny about that character. I know that deep down in my bones, I know that it's got something to it. I know that it's got something to it. But I think it is the sincerity that pervades it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it does. It doesn't feel nice.
No.
Whereas I think. Because he went through such a heartbreak when he lost his dear old dad, Spike Myers, that he when it was being channeled into Austin Powers, that is a character filled with so much love and so much energy that he's created something that's so loving. I think when he's pushing it into the love guru character, Guru Pitka, Maurice Pitka.
That's right.
Some people call him the space cowboy.
It is corrupted. It's corrupted.
But it was there with Austin and his dad.
Yeah.
Worked really nicely. Oh, yeah. But then also he muddied the waters with the love guru by adding the whole hockey element, which is another one of his great passions.
Yeah, he loves.
I know there was too much in that movie,
and
that
just felt shoehorned in. Yeah. Unfortunately,
it's a weird sports movie. Yeah. It should have been about freaking Rudy.
Troyer needed to just. I've met Vern Troyer as well.
Yeah, you would have met a lot of the members of the MCU.
Vern's an angry man.
Really?
Yeah, but we did. We did a sketch with Vern. We didn't have
Let
one.
The record show. Rover's lowered his hat over his eyes.
I'm covering his face.
I want to say it was a different time, but that made no difference.
Rove has turned on a lava lamp to kind of shade the blushing that he's doing right now.
So we were offered the opportunity to talk to Vern. I think he was promoting a chocolate bar or something.
Oh,
so
no.
This wasn't even for one of the movies.
Oh, no.
But it's like, do you want Mini-Me? And we were like, yeah, of course we do. Well, you've got, like, we only have a couple of minutes. He's going to be in one place at one time. Telling people about the chocolates, and then he's leaving.
Believe it or not, ironically, Vern Troyer is short on time.
So we just had, we just shot a bit where we pretended it was backstage at our show, and Pete was putting up a sign.
Oh my gosh, I think I remember this.
You have to be tall to be on Rove Live. And it was a wooden effigy of me looking like one you'd see at a carnival with the little hand sticking out, like a little teapot style with the big speech bubble. You have to be this tall to be on the show. And me saying to him, oh, do you think this is going to be a problem? And he says, no, I shouldn't think so. And then the camera pans and there's Vern Troyer who looks up and goes, ah, shit. And then just walks out. And that's it. That's the bit. That's the bit. And we kept that sign out the front of our offices for like 5 years. Afterwards, which is more time than we ever spent with Vern Troyer.
That's actually.
But on the day, I was like, thank you so much for doing this. Yeah. I know it's kind of demeaning what we're asking you to do. And he's like, he just sighed and just went, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a
good
sport.
You'd
he's
seen
funny.
The love guru at that point, right? The
yes.
whole movie is.
He was done with his time with Mike at that point.
Okay.
Did he say that?
Well, no. Well, it was post love guru. I certainly know that. So I think by that stage. That was kind of the last we'd seen of Mike. I don't think anyone thought he was coming back.
No.
He may have declared, I'm done at that point.
Yeah.
Because
It was after that, there was Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, that's right.
And that didn't really awaken anything else. That was kind of it until he did another Shrek.
Probably another two Shreks, then some Shrek
Do you
TV.
Think, Cam, Alexi, do you think there will be a day where he will dust off the mullet? And the trucker cap, and we will see Wayne one more time.
Well, look, he's come back as Wayne for some SNL specials.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
He did Wayne for the 40th, I think.
He did it for the 40th. He did the first time they reappeared together was for the MTV Awards that Mike Myers hosted in 2008 to promote the Love Guru itself.
Oh, that's right. It was a week before the movie came out. So much Love Guru promo throughout the
We had to chunk it down on a Russian stream and we did get a virus. We did get a virus really? On the computer, yeah.
Oh, but
watching
God.
It on its Russian stream, and oh, we couldn't skip God. It, so we had to watch the full 3-hour presentation of the 2008 MTV Movie Awards.
With all the musical performances, including Chris Brown.
Yeah, Chris Brown and Mike Myers really dancing it up together, and they are two fabulous Lord. Dancers. So we were transported back to 2008, where it was okay to enjoy such
a
spectacle.
I feel it will happen.
You think
I can't help
back.
But think that there will be an Alan Partridge-style re-emergence
now, look, I would
of
love
the character.
That. If
that's
they
the way
Wayne
it should,
Garth,
would
if they
be
did
done.
Wayne and Garth
yeah.
as a, you know, Alan Partridge-style show, and it's modern, it's shot in a modern way, it's on Netflix or something,
yes,
I'm all on board for that.
And
I don't really want to see
a
movie
is,
of it.
You could, yes. You could make it work because what they were when they first started, which was essentially our community television.
Yep.
You could do that now with them doing a YouTube channel
exactly.
or some kind of online thing.
They have
where
an online
you
channel.
Could go back to being, yeah, this is them working low budget again. And it would be justified.
You know what? I've just realized why
God,
you
that
have
would
a,
be a good show.
You have a connection to Wayne. It's because you have your community TV roots as
yes.
well.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd love to
so
track down some of those old roads.
So much in common. And the exact same thing of went from community television to like the big network saying, hey, come and do it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And similarly, we were at Channel 9 when Channel 9 had money and we still did, we shot our pilot and we didn't want to spend any, we had no money anyway, but we thought we're not going to waste any money on our pilot by building a set and getting fancy animated graphics and stuff because we'll worry about that when the show gets, if it gets picked up.
Yeah.
Let's just put our money into whatever ideas we have being good ideas.
Yeah.
So we just shot it with furniture that we found around the, like from people's offices and stuff like that. I remember my chair was the head of the props department and he was very particular about his chair. No one else was allowed to use his chair. And it was like some badge of honor that he said, you may use my chair.
Wow. Oh my God.
Pilot. And the
Do you
couch we got secondhand.
Think that
from
is
somewhere?
Responsible for your success in life was yep. you were bestowed with that chair early on.
The power of the props master. And the only thing we spent money on was the desk. So our studio walls were where our set was the studio walls. We just put nice lights onto what is the bare chicken wire and I think
See that's badass.
Dangerous
that's
asbestos.
Cool.
That is badass. Walls.
So then when the show got picked up, we all watched the – and same thing, we didn't have a name for the show. We just went, we'll call it the – it was just – we were calling it Late Night Gardening at first. Everyone said, what are you working on? We would say, oh, we're working on a Late Night Gardening show. And then on the call sheet, we just needed something. So it was just called the Rove Pilot.
Yeah.
So then whenever we said, we'll be back after this, we just had lowercase. It was just R-O-V-E. That was it.
Yeah.
And then it became, well, that looks really cool because it's low status and that
it's
kind of seems a
edgy.
Bit cool. Yeah.
It's raw.
It's not flashy, which these shows usually are. So then when we got picked up, we're like, we kind of like the look to the point where the studio was so big that so we shot a pilot in a small studio. When we got to the big studio to make the series, we cut it off because it was way too big for what we wanted.
Yeah.
We wanted to make it feel small and pokey. We built a fake wall to look like the real wall that was behind us.
That is
so there was one
Vanderhoff
shot. So every time you would see me, the shot behind me was a fake wall that we built to look like the rest
to
of
match
the studio.
The real wall
and it would lift
that.
Up at the end of the night for the band to perform in. But otherwise, it was the same studio as Hey Hey It's Saturday, which was enormous.
Yeah.
And the footy show, we didn't need anything that big.
That's great.
So, yes, I can
so
feel
real.
Wayne... the spirit of Wayne when we were going in and they were like, well, here's what we want to do. And we're like, well, don't you change anything.
Yeah.
It's going to be exactly the same.
But isn't that so funny when you get a fake wall that's been designed to look like the real wall? That's when you're like, all right, I'm in show business now.
So it sounds a bit like a bit of a wanker move when you think about it. But yeah, I liked it. But it was exactly as Garth had said. It's like putting on new underwear. At first it feels restrictive, but very soon it becomes a part of you.
Exactly. Well, see, I think maybe the debate between Wayne and Austin, I feel like I've got Rove in my corner for this one.
Okay.
That's how it feels because you are Wayne in many ways.
Sure.
If Wayne spelt it with a lowercase w, you know, it'd be more.
But if I had the power to just go out into the street.
Oh, yeah.
And just I mean, he was doing flash mobs before flash mobs
That's
were
true.
Cool.
That's true.
They right? just happened awesome. Around him.
Yeah.
He's got magic. He's got the mojo.
Okay, all right.
And the Piper of Love, I believe, is the actual song.
Yeah, that's a great to. Song.
It's part of just a mix that I have, just a miscellaneous bunch of songs that if I'm out going for a run or something, I just have on because yeah. it's nice and uplifting. It's on that playlist.
That's the Edwyn Collins song that he's playing when he is doing that snaps of Liz Hurley in the credits of Austin right. Powers. Yeah. International Man of Mystery, released in 1997. Directed by Jay Roach. I actually found
Jay
out.
Roach,
I
right.
found out a Mike fact today. I literally uncovered a Mike mystery today.
Okay.
So, whoa. There's a big difference between a Mike fact and a Mike mystery.
Mm. Well, let's say it might have been a mystery, but now it may be a fact.
Okay.
Let's a start fact with the bastard, mystery I shall call this segment. So, I discovered a song the other day. It is by a band called the. I forgot the name of the band. The Dream Warriors, they're called the Dream Warriors, and they're a Canadian hip-hop group from the early 90s, and they had a song called My Definition of a Boombastic Jazz Beat, and it is the Soul Bossa Nova by Quincy Jones, all mixed up, and they're rapping over it, and it's very exciting, and I was like, oh my gosh, this just came up in my Spotify Discover feed, the God must be real, and his name is Mike. And I was so fascinated by this. I started researching it and I found out they were Canadian, like Mike Myers. Mm-hmm. And this song was based, they got the beat and the rhythm from the Bossa Nova as we know it, which at the time was the theme song to a Canadian game show called Definition, which is not unlike Jeopardy.
Right.
So that was being used as a theme song, and it was an older, like a long-running game show.
Right.
And I believe this must be where Mike Myers had heard the song, thus creating in his mind the spark that would fuel cinema's history's most psychedelic spy.
I think it's spot on.
And honestly, that just happened by pure chance. Or as I call it, divine intervention.
Well, look, if I can weigh in one more time, I do, so I have an Austin Powers song on my playlist.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode. And even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My library. I can't think of any Wayne songs that I would have, unfortunately.
No.
I also, when I'm struggling to reverse parallel park and I've made myself too tight, I say, I've pulled an Austin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've done an Austin.
That's in the vernacular now.
It's there. It's become a verb almost.
Were you a fan of that film when it came out?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, what he did so well, the joke of the cutaway to Rob Lowe and Friends no one ever thinks about the minions.
Yeah.
Was
I thought that was genius. Just to take that, you know, oh, just these guys. These
nameless henchmen.
Who just get killed. And then his friends hearing the news at a bar was fantastic.
That is one of my favorite scenes.
That is comedic genius. And one of those ones that you just think, oh, why is that? You know, I love a joke when I see it and go, why did I never think of that?
That's a great
bit of stand-up or something. Why did I not think of that? I love it so much, it makes me mad. That's always a good gag for me.
Rove,
and that was one of
just
those
broke a glass in his hand. He is truly
just
mad.
Just crushed it. That's all right.
I'll open the doors for another segment of Fact Bastard. That scene is an Aussie exclusive. That was not in the cinemas in America. That was a deleted scene. And when the movie came to Australia on home video and in the cinemas, the henchman scenes were added. And that's why people in Australia will always think of those scenes in the movie. But it's not. It was in America. People really don't know those exist until they saw it on home video. So it's not part of the conversation of Mike Myers and Austin Powers' legacy in America.
I see.
And it's one of the iconic. It's one of those scenes that shows me that Austin Powers as a movie is a series of amazing sketches.
Yes.
That I feel like if Mike was still on SNL, these are great sketches he could have just had peppered throughout a season.
He could have just been a spy.
A superhero or a spy. Yeah.
Are we jumping sides here?
Look.
Damn. What am I hearing?
I love Austin so much.
He actually is a really funny character.
I think I love Wayne too. It's a real delicate balance. Because they're two sides of the same coin, you know. Austin is a dork who we're laughing at him for trying to be cool. Sorry, Wayne.
Yeah.
Austin is cool.
He is cool.
He just like walks down the street, everyone acknowledges that he's cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like,
but both characters work so well because they are exactly that, marching to the beat of their own drum.
Yeah.
Even though what they're doing is weird or awkward or, in Austin's case, completely out of date and inappropriate, the fact that they have all the confidence in the world is what makes them so likable.
Yeah.
And Austin has a lot of unlikable traits. And Wayne does, I guess, to an extent too. Like, he can be a bit childish and selfish and pouty when he wants to be. Mm-hmm. But they're just, both of them are so likable. You know, Austin's an easy one because on paper you go, well, yeah, he's sexist, misogynist. But
and you go, Wayne's petty as well.
Yeah.
I would actually even go, I think Wayne is more sexist than Austin Powers.
Explain yourself.
Okay, here is my argument. I would say Wayne, he objectifies Cassandra more than Austin objectifies any women in the films and greater readings of Austin.
Heather Locklear gets a mention as well.
Come on, that is, there's no way.
Because he Austin will accept, he accepts the power of women and the response, the them as he has respect for them.
Okay,
you know, his boss basically is Liz Hurley in the first film. Mm-hmm. And he does ask her permission, shall we shag now or shag later? And she says, if you were even the last man on earth, I would not even shag you for 1 second, Austin. And he says, okay, I will try hard, but still I will respect your boundaries. Not in so many words, but I think he generally has he does show more respect for women because I think Wayne believes that Cassandra is his.
No.
She will be mine.
Yes.
Oh, yes. She will be mine.
She will be mine, but he's also a young
Austin's
man.
Austin's like,
we have to remember
she
he's
will
17
be.
Or
I would love to have the opportunity to shag her, but she is her own woman, baby, and I will respect that.
I think we also need to remember that Wayne begins as Cassandra's fan. And throughout the film, he is championing her career. He wants her to succeed. He doesn't try to be a part of her creative life. He just wants her to be the Cassandra that she is with the band Crucial Taunt. Great band. And he
Ming T, you know, better
band. Her story, and he is just the fan on the sidelines. So,
okay. So where at this point, gentlemen, let's flip it. Where do you think that your characters let you down?
Oh, boy.
Where do you think Mike has put the chinks in the armor for Austin and Wayne? Because we have proven, they have negative traits.
Yeah.
They are fallible, but there's something about them that makes that redeeming, and that's okay.
Okay.
So you can't just go, well, Austin is a bit of a sexist pig,
because
part of it is what makes him adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think as well, I think the vulnerability that he offers to both of these characters is part of the success as from turning them from would-be sketch characters to true cinematic characters.
Now, may I throw a spanner in the works?
You may.
Is there something that an argument that can be made about the impact on popular culture that both these characters have made and the footprint that Austin has left behind, which is a huge footprint, is not necessarily a good one?
No.
Like, I don't need people to try to do another impression. I don't people. I didn't like people doing it at the time.
No.
Let alone now.
It's Borat syndrome.
I nearly sure. That too.
I think that is true. I remember one of my greatest sad memories in my life was I went to the premiere, the press screening of the David Brent movie just last year.
Mm-hmm. And Life on the Road.
Life on the Road, the David Brent life story. As told to you by Ricky Gervais in mockumentary format.
Okay.
Many years
long
after.
Long title. Yes,
yeah. So it was a
that
wonderful
was part of
thing.
Its downfall. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why people didn't get on board.
One ticket for don't worry.
Let's go see Minions.
And me and my friend went, and in the audience we saw a man dressed up as Austin Powers in the full regalia, the official regalia of Austin Powers, velvet crush suits. Yep.
The official uniform really of the My Czech Republic.
Cravat. Mm-hmm. Necklace with one male symbol on it and pair of Italian boots.
Buongiorno, boys.
Yes. And so me and my friend were like, oh my God, that guy has to be the MC for tonight. And this is like the big joke that because, you know, David Brent would do the bad Borat and Austin Powers impressions and stuff like that. This is part of the meta joke. Wow. The guy was just watching the movie. The MCs were just some Nova guys that came up and truly bombed and was really upsetting. And the mystery of just this guy dressed up as Austin Powers that has been stuck with me forever.
Maybe didn't get the reference.
This was maybe the week we started doing this podcast as well. Mm. And I was like, what am I doing? Am I unleashing something bad on the world again?
I remember being at the Universal Studios of Hollywood where they have a lot of characters walking around and there was and the thing about Universal Studios is it's not Disneyland. They don't have a lot of characters that require you to put on an enormous fiberglass head. So a lot of it is like Marilyn Monroe. They will have a Marilyn Monroe impersonator.
One of the great movie characters of all time.
And I believe it was at Movie World as well. I've seen one of these.
You may have seen him, and that may have been friend of the show, Dave Eastgate.
Maybe.
He actually Dave played Eastgate him. He played him.
And it's just, I feel for them. I feel for what they have to do because they can't, like if you... I have performed with the person who was inside with Humphrey Bear, the actual Humphrey Bear.
Oh wow!
Beloved children's character for those who may be listening in other parts of the world,
Outside of the micro Czech Republic, a giant illegal stream.
Yes, he's a giant brown bear in a delightful bow tie, a bow hat, tie, and waistcoat combination.
With famously performs with his penis out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does little balloon tricks. He makes a carousel. It's eye-wateringly, but incredible.
All that stuff.
So anyway, I have seen the Humphrey performer in rehearsals performing all the Humphrey moves and without the suit on. It looks bizarre.
Oh no.
But once the suit goes on, everything's fine. Oh, there's a lot of mouthing words that he's imagining in his head and very big gestures. Like you have some kind of mental deficiency. But and then when the suit goes on, you'll be like, so James, and he'll be like, he will not say a word.
Oh, whoa.
And even if we were talking like, so you catch
his method?
Are you catching a flight out? Is your flight out this afternoon or are you going to be staying till tomorrow? He will just shake his head and then do airplane, like wide arms out, airplane.
Oh, no.
And then
not
do like an over-the-hill thing. You're going...
In costume.
Oh, it's almost you need him to be doing a sounds like
that
thing.
Is very Stanislavskian, if I do say. Mm.
You may.
Yeah, and I
But
wish
there's
I
something about I'm an Austin Powers impersonator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's glasses and sometimes teeth, sometimes not, because they're like, "Hey, your teeth are pretty bad as it is."
We did receive
you can't hide, and the character, or I should say, bad impressions of that character.
I think
have been overdone to the point where I feel it affects people's opinions now
of Austin.
I would have to sadly agree to this. If I think it has tainted the legacy of one of cinema's greatest spies of all time.
I think the biggest chink in the armor for Wayne for me has been seeing Mike revive the character with Dana for the SNL and the MTV thing.
Really?
Yeah. It just doesn't...
Oh, no.
I don't know. It never grabs me the way that the old sketches used to or the movie did. There's something... I think it's because they're still playing 16-year-old versions of the characters.
Yes.
They should be playing them at this age now in the way that Alan Partridge has aged.
They're hinting that they've got kids. Yeah. Maybe they break character slightly or break the Garth persona and they go into the modern Garth persona. It's like, oh, yes, my kids, they finally got pubes.
That could work, though.
That
you're right.
Work. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true because part of the success was, they were young boys and therefore they were referencing the touchstones of that era.
Mm. Yeah.
But to do that now where they're sort of trapped in some time warp where they're still teenagers and they wouldn't be talking about Heather Locklear, let's say.
No.
It would be, they'd pick someone else now, like, I don't know.
Lena Dunham.
Yeah. Of course Lena Dunham.
Yeah, and they'd
that
be
was exactly
referencing,
where my brain was clutching for.
I guess they'd be referencing like hip-hop and stuff now. And I don't know. I'd like to see an aged version of that.
That's where it would seem weird where you're like, well, you're here now, but your characters are still trapped back then.
Yeah.
I think what would be more interesting is if they are like, they have aged and their tastes have aged with them. So they're talking about Weezer, the bands that they were kind of around when they were doing these characters, but they have also aged and continue to do, while progress through their careers as well, but also tend to do similar things that they did at the time, like Weezer or Wilco.
So they're kind of like dads who are really into alternative rock.
Exactly. Pearl which Jam
dad. They're my dad, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's I'd like that. That's a fun character trope. Guys talking about Pearl Jam and Nirvana and stuff.
That would the idea that they are like one of my favorite things in the world is seeing old rockers. Something about someone who picks up a guitar, and I'm not even suggesting you have to have been successful and made it in the business.
Yeah.
But you can turn up to usually a wedding or some kind of public function like that. Where there's just a bunch of grey-haired blokes doing cover songs of songs that you haven't really heard of, but everyone in the crowd over the age of 50 seems to be really digging.
I love it.
And I love it. They cannot let it go.
Yeah.
And that's, you could bring Wayne and Garth back like that.
They're I would still love that.
Yeah, they could have actual jobs now and would probably have to.
Yeah.
But still can't let go of behaving the way they do and referencing these old... pop culture references.
I love a dad band. I was just in Byron Bay and every band I saw was old guys with long hair.
So good.
And they'd be like, this next one's by the Little River Band. And everyone, all the other people of their age go, yeah. And I'm like, who the fuck are we talking about? What is this? And then it's awesome. Yeah, and I'm like loving it as well. I love it.
My music teacher at school, when we all found out like in year 11 or 12 that he had a band on the side that he was working on weekends.
Yeah.
Oh, we all wanted to go see
him. Of course.
So bad. But everywhere was licensed and we couldn't get in. But geez, we would find out like where it was and hear about it and try to send someone who had an older sibling to go and check it out who would go, why the fuck am I going to go see this old man's band? Man. What are they playing? Oh, someone else's songs that you don't know.
Yeah.
Go on, you'd love it.
There'll be eight people in the pub that you don't know also.
So, gentlemen, it seems now that let's look at where our characters sit outside of their own world. So we did touch upon the impressions a little bit. But let's be honest. If we had to gauge a top, I won't even say 10, just to allow a bit of room for everybody, of most popular characters of all time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cinematic, probably.
Yeah.
Just to narrow it down a bit.
All right.
Where do we think we sit here?
Okay. So number one, obviously.
And I want you to think objectively.
Mm.
You are not you.
No.
You are not the experts of Mike Myers. Mm-hmm.
We are just
fans of pop culture. Guy.
Fans of comedy characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, probably the Little Tramp.
Yes, it's one of the most enduring popular characters of all time, Little Tramp.
Yeah.
Number two, probably Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool.
He's one of the longest and most enduring characters in popular culture. I mean, the guy's fucking cool, he's funny, he's sexy, and he talks about freaking chimichangas all the time, man. Like, that's...
He loves chimichangas.
He has stood the test of time.
He has,
Deadpool.
Guys.
Yeah, yeah.
He's ageless.
He's a badass, man. That's what matters.
Number three, probably Dirty Grandpa. the Robert De Niro character from the Dirty Grandpa franchise.
And of course, number four right after that, it's his most famous rival of all time. Mm. Bad Grandpa from the Johnny Knoxville the Jackass spin-off movies. Yes. So that's the top four.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty hard to break.
Number five, probably that train pulling into the station from the very first film ever made.
The first horror. Yeah. It was actually the first horror movie. So that is the most iconic
and also
horror.
The first prank movie.
Then I would say the moon that cops the rocket in the eye.
Absolutely. From A Trip to the Moon, the Melies Brothers movie.
That's it. We haven't even found where Austin and Wayne sit.
So there's only a few left. Probably right after that, I would probably say, God, there's so many to choose from, but I would probably say after that it would be...
The lion roaring in the MGM.
Yeah, that is one of the most iconic ones.
That's because funny shit.
That's actually the first Bond villain, because you're watching the movie straight away and you chuck on Dr. No and this lion roars and you're like, gosh, I hope James gets rid of this one.
This is how you know you're not lying. My daughter has recently discovered The Wizard of Oz, which is an MGM movie. Oh, and the line at the start, she said, is that the cowardly one? And I said, no. And she said, is that line in the movie? And I said, I don't think he is. And she, you could almost see her disappointed there. Because that's a pretty cool line.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's a pretty
line.
Cool line.
So what are we up to now? We got up to...
I think we're about eight.
So we have two more spots left.
Two left.
I'm going to say, look, this is really hard for me to say, but I think... Austin Powers,
both of them.
Austin Powers,
Spy Who Shagged Me, Austin.
Yeah, Austin. Mm. We've got Austin Powers, and then Tom Cruise, Austin Powers from Godfather. Austin Pussy, the movie Austin Pussy.
How soon we forget?
This is really hard for me to accept, but I'm gracious, and I'm going to say I'm not worthy, and. I guess Austin is a better character than Wayne.
He's in the top 10. It's undeniable.
The worst thing about the top 10. Guys,
God damn it.
That is ironclad. Yeah. That list we just came up with. Yeah. You could ask any Joe, walk in the street.
Yeah.
That's the exact same 10. List they'll have.
And then I would say to him, mate, you need to woken up because honestly, they're all men. Honestly.
Yeah.
And so.
Although the moon is gender fluid.
Yeah. Gender neutral.
Luna, actually. Yeah. So it is a woman. Luna, it may have been played by a man in the movie, but it is a woman.
Yeah.
And Deadpool, probably there's a comic book where
we can see. And the train is trans.
Yes.
That's funny.
There we go.
Yes.
There we go. So it's have transport. We conceded defeat here, Cam?
I think.
What do you think at home? Call now.
Yeah.
On Cam's mobile
number. On Rove's number, which I have.
It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes. I think I'm going to have to cede defeat and say, even though he is very beloved to me and I have a lot of personal connection to Wayne, Austin is a more iconic and funny film character. And I'm on the verge of tears. I'm going to step off this spinning bed for a moment.
Yeah.
I am feeling incredibly ill. Wherever you are right now, dear listener, hit pause. They've done it. We've lost them. How do we get them back?
Oh, no. I think we wait a moment and then eventually.
Okay, wait. Yeah. Okay.
Come back.
Are you back?
Yes. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, because they went. Now what?
I think.
Okay. Before you hit pause the next time, I want you to look around you, taking where you were, where you are right now. Now hit pause, count to three, wait, and then come back. Okay, I think they're back.
One, two.
Now, just remember where you are. The moment that Cameron James conceded defeat, that yes, Austin Powers is the better Mike Myers character.
Yeah.
That's where you were.
Cam, I will concede to you.
Oh my God, about to rear end a truck in traffic. Stop! Don't pause podcasts and drive, guys.
Too much fiddling around.
Rove told me to. Blood is not on my hands.
If Rove tell you to jump off a cliff, would you do it?
Maybe.
I probably would.
I reckon I would actually might do that.
If Peter Hellier did, I would.
Yeah, I would.
Don't do it, mate. I would concede to you, Wayne's World, I would say, is a better movie than Austin Powers, though.
Whoa. Okay, this is huge.
Okay, now, wherever you are right now, and maybe it is about to fill out details for someone who just rear-ended in traffic or trying to flee the scene of a hit and run. Just remember where you were.
Okay. Pause the podcast, look around for 3 seconds, and then come back.
All right. So it's now 4 hours later and you're back at home hiding from the cops.
Okay.
Unpause.
All All right.
Do you remember where you were?
Wow.
Back when all that happened?
Shit.
Yeah. Alexei conceded defeat.
I dropped a bomb.
Wow. That was a real... That really took me by surprise, honestly. I'm not even feigning it. I conceded defeat. I was at my lowest.
You were at your lowest point.
And then you handed me a life raft.
Yeah.
And now here I am floating.
Up in heaven.
And with I feel amazing.
But still very badly burned.
Yeah.
Still very badly burned.
Very badly burned.
Ro, before we close out the podcast, there were a couple of things I would be remiss not to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
When you interviewed Mike Myers, yes. I want you to pause your podcast for a moment and go back to that point in time.
Uh-huh.
Remember, think deeply. Close your eyes if you have to and think about Mike Myers. What did he look like? What was he wearing? Specifically, how long were his sleeves?
Oh, he was in a very standard suit.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as if it was bought off the rack.
Off the rack.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't describe it as fitted.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I remember being quite astounded by just the hair. The hair, when you really take it in, has no genuine style or substance
no
whatsoever.
No shape.
It's just kind of there.
How would you
and I say there
the
with
hair?
A shrug. It's just... It's there. It exists on the top of his head.
Because you are a very stylish man, I would say.
It serves no purpose.
And so that means the world to me to hear that. Because I look at Mike Myers and I often look at him with pride.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I feel pride when I look at him goofing around. But when he's in interviews, he wears an unfitted suit.
Yeah.
And the sleeves on these things go all the way up to his wrist, so he's got these little fingers just poking out of them. Pull it up.
He looks like a kid in a movie where he's had some wish.
Yes.
And kind of been shrunk. But not quite enough.
Yeah. So like...
It's the opposite of Big.
Like the end of Big.
Can I be shrunk?
Yeah.
It's a movie Shrunk, directed by Benny Marshall.
Can I just be a little bit smaller?
Yeah, just one size.
Just a little bit. Just a half size.
Honey, I shrunk my arms.
If there was like a sequel to Big that was just called Half... Do you want to be big? No, just half
if I
bigger.
Could just go in a little
half
bit.
Bigger.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, it looked like he needed alterations.
Mm.
And it was, as memory serves, it was just like a black suit and like a dark blue shirt.
Mm.
It wasn't, there was nothing bright and
yes, which is bizarre
eye-catching
to me,
about
because
it.
I would say Austin Powers is one of the most stylish characters ever.
Yeah, right.
Second only to the little tramp and Deadpool. Those are the two highest. If we were to do a list of 10 most stylish characters,
it would be the same list,
but just a different order.
Sure.
But even Austin Powers famously has the longest sleeves of any character in film history.
That's very true.
They go all the way over his hands.
They do.
So the guy has never shown his wrists apart from when he plays Wayne because he wears T-shirts.
Wow. What is he trying to hide? Are you onto something here?
That's the next Mike mystery I plan to unlock. One day it's
Mike's
just going to come to me. What is it? Is he afraid of wearing a watch or showing people his watch, what time it is? He doesn't want people to know what time it is. Is Mike a timekeeper?
Well, guys, as we near the end of our journey, having found the right way and not gone to the Second Presbyterian Church.
Excellent reference.
Where do you think you go from here, guys?
That's a mystery for the ages. Mm. I think one thing we are yet to uncover, at the start of this podcast, Grove, we had a few questions we needed answered.
Sure.
Why was Mike absent from our screens? Would he ever come back? Would there be an Austin Powers 4?
Mm-hmm.
And most famously, is Mike horny?
Mm.
And that's the one question we haven't answered yet.
Mm.
So maybe that's the next step.
And that is a tale for another time.
But speaking of horny, we got to ask you before you go.
Every day. I love to just give it a good rum-tum-tugger.
Just rattle one out.
Yep, exactly. Go Southpaw just to mix it up a bit.
Oh, wow, yeah. The Stranger, you ever try that?
I have now. And yes, and I do it with my little, as I mentioned the other night when we were on stage together, underwear wearing Austin Powers.
Yeah, you mentioned you had a figure of Austin Powers, and we actually found video evidence of you and this figure on screen today.
Oh, yes.
We found something, we uncovered something. This was another Mike mystery, perhaps, that we were detectives on. It's a video of you interviewing the artist Beyoncé.
Queen Bey
for her first movie role
Foxy
ever.
Foxy Cleopatra.
Herself on Goldmember, Austin Powers in Goldmember, whereas actually It technically in the movie, Austin Powers never goes in Gold Member, but he does go in Foxy Clip. I mean, that's funny stuff.
Okay.
But you revealed to her, you asked her two questions. Well, you actually, it was quite a professional interview. You asked her more than just two questions.
I asked two questions and said, I am done here. You will amount to nothing. Get out.
But you were asking her questions that we probably would ask her. And when we were watching it, I felt that I was finally seeing the first episode of Mike Check.
Yeah.
This was, I think, in canon, that is the first episode of Mike Check.
Wow.
Was you interviewing Queen Bey, asking her what it was like to kiss Austin Powers.
Of course you do. Of course you
do. So thank you so much for being the first person to bring Mike history into, you know, I guess the world and inspiring us.
Well, it's been my pleasure. And as we talk about merchandise, I'm also reminded, I think this would be a lovely way to wrap things up.
Excellent.
Way back when we started in 1999, our my self-titled television program, my desk would have a whole bunch of toys on there. I would rotate different weeks depending on what I got. Mm-hmm. And I had what I can only describe as a beanbag Austin Powers. So it was his head, no body. The body was just like a beanbag thing that had a voice mechanism in it.
Oh, yeah.
So when you hit it or threw it and it landed on the ground, there were three delightful catchphrases.
I can't wait to hear what they were.
There was... Very shagadelic.
Whoa.
There was, do I make you horny, baby?
Of course.
And a third one, which I'll get to in a second, but there was a week where we did a stunt on the show. We thought it was a fun thing where it was a camera trick. Long story short, it looked like we killed some birds. We didn't kill the birds. We made it look like we killed the birds. We were too clever for our own good, and we got into a lot of trouble.
Wow.
To the point where we had to do our first ever apology.
Oh, wow.
The week later to say we didn't actually kill birds, and even to the point where, you know, pre-Twitter we had to answer to, but why is it even funny to suggest that killing birds is funny?
It's actually one of the funniest things
you can really
do.
Funny. Yeah.
It's hilarious. Yeah. The way we did it too. Genius. Anyway, because it was testing the theory, can you kill two birds with one stone?
Excellent.
So what do? Put two pigeons in a cage, drop a huge slab on them.
Great. That's fine.
Or did we? Anyway, so the following week I had to issue a public apology.
Mm-hmm.
And to move on, because I didn't really know how to do it back then, I thought, I know what will get me out of here. I'll pick up my little Austin doll and I'll give him a little whack and he will give us a little moment of brevity to
Excellent.
Move on. So after saying sorry for making it seem like we squashed birds, We don't think that's funny. The idea of crushing animals is not funny whatsoever. Let's move on. I hit Austin and we hear, smashing baby! So I think that perfectly sums up my
Excellent.
Experience today. It was indeed, quote, smashing baby.
Oh,
thank you so much
for having us on your show, Rose.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. To all of our regular listeners, remember, rate, subscribe on iTunes.
Yep.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Russian streams, anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Pandora. And to you gentlemen.
Thank you.
All the best for the journey ahead.
Thank you so much. Thanks
Thank
for having
you so
us.
Much.
A pleasure.
This was a dream come true for us. You truly made me horny, baby. Rove, we've been honoured to be part of a show that you've been running at the Giant
Dwarf.
We have
been honoured to have you guys.
It's been the most fun we've had in ages, and that's including the honeymoon period that we just got over. it's called The Popular Experiment. It's been going for the last couple of Mondays. We've got the last one, perhaps, in this...
For this season,
for this
as
minute.
We would say, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is happening, yes, October 30, if you're in Sydney, even if you're not, you know where it is.
Yeah.
The Giant Dwarf Theatre, giantdwarf.com.au. If you want to be there. But it's been a whole ton of fun.
Oh, so
audiences
much fun.
Have been incredible.
Yeah.
They get it. We're just fucking around on stage, messing around with all things pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have been doing a tremendous job of kicking the show off.
Talking about Mike Myers.
And they're into it, right?
Yeah.
Of all the things we do, video game reviews, we do TV reviews, we do movie reviews. We just have stand-ups and guests. But yours is the most obtuse of all the things we do. And for some reason we've gone, we'll open with that every week. And the audience is, yes. You made someone watch The Love Guru thinking that you were going to talk about it the week after.
I plan to do that to the entire world one day when I take over.
I look forward to seeing what you guys
so
have
So if
next.
You're in Sydney, come on down October 30. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll hang out with you there, horny babies. Thanks for joining us again. And we'll be talking to you soon.
Mm-hmm.
trying to find the definitive answer to the question we posed. Is Mike Myers, famous Canadian comedian, horny?
Can't wait to figure that one out. Thanks, Rove.
Thank you, boys.
It's Mike Check. It's Mike Check. The podcast by Mike Myers.
And we're clear.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.